Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from View House Littleton, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
Another spectacular day here in Mile High City. We're at the View House in downtown Littleton, but down the road just a little bit at Broncos Stadium, Mile High. The Broncos take on the Raiders in what everybody expects to be a massive Broncos butt-kicking. I don't know if he has any different view of that, but Mike Evans joins me. And Mike, just on the surface of it, it looks like the Broncos will have their way today against the Raiders.
You know what? I don't feel that confident. Not a blowout win. I think they win the football game, but I don't know. I guess maybe all week listening to people say, oh, the Raiders have been backed into a corner. Oh, the Raiders are going to come out a lot more desperate, a lot hungrier, maybe, you know, make that improvement from week one to week two that you see a lot of teams make. So I think they'll come in here. I think they'll play certainly better than they played against the Rams, but I think the Broncos will play better than they played last week against Seattle. I think they'll tackle better than they did last week against Seattle, but I don't think that this is going to be a blowout. I think they win, but I think it'll be closer than some people think. Why do you think it's a blowout?
Oh, I think the Raiders are terrible. I think, maybe close in the first half, but with 90-degree temperatures on tap for today, we saw what happened to that Raiders team in the second half against the Rams. They were leading 13-10. And then they just, they did absolutely nothing. They're the oldest team in the NFL. They have massive discord because of the release of Khalil Mack. Derek Carr's, what's he going to do? Chucky is, he's Chucky. It's a mediocre coach. And their eyes are set towards Vegas. I mean, they almost said as much this entire week, Mike, in terms of, we're rebuilding and we're developing and we're growing and this, that, the other thing. I mean, they signed to their 53 Clinton McDonald, a free agent who was with the Broncos all training camp, and the Broncos threw him overboard because he was injured and couldn't play. He's on the 53 for the Raiders. I'm not sure he's going to play today or not, but perhaps he was just acquired from intelligence. It wouldn't be the first time, I guess. But it just does not seem like a very sharp team to me, Mike.
I agree with you about the idea of them looking to the future. I mean, this is a situation where I think the Raider fans are kind of being conned a little bit, right? You know, what you're being told is...
What Raider fans?
You're being told to buy into the mystique of Gruden. You're selling your fan base on the brand that is Gruden. What you're hoping to get, if I think this is Mark Davis's plan, the owner of the Raiders, is, look, hey, everybody, look at Chucky, and we're going to Vegas. In the meantime, we're not going to be very good, and we didn't have the money up front. We didn't have the cash on hand to be able to pay Khalil Mack. I mean, that's the main reason why he's out of there.
Yes.
It's not because that, you know, they felt that he wasn't worth the money. They didn't have the money. They don't have the money.
Why don't you explain that? That to me... And I think for a lot of fans, sounds complicated. Why don't you have the money?
Well,
everybody operates in a salary cap, so how can you not have the money?
Because if you're going to sign somebody to a rich contract like the one that Khalil Mack had with the signing bonus that it includes, that's cash. And you have to have the cash on hand as an organization. Just because these teams are worth, you know, $1.5 billion doesn't mean that they necessarily have cash on hand to be able to dole it out to a guy like Khalil Mack. So what I was told talking to Stink about it, and Stink was told about this, is the idea that, hey, they just don't have the cash, and they will not have the cash until they get to Las Vegas, and that was the driving force behind Khalil Mack being here. So I agree with you that this is a team that looks very shaky, looks like it could be very combustible, looks like it could fall apart. But I don't, because as you said, it's a veteran team, I think a lot of those veterans will have a certain amount of pride in the early going of the season to go out and do their best, and that's why I think you'll get a much better effort from the Raiders this week than you did a week ago. Again, I believe they win the football game. The Broncos do. I think the Broncos are a better team. They're at home.
Yeah.
But I just don't think it's going to be a runaway. I don't know if this Broncos team's capable of blowing
people
out.
Oh, sure they are. Yeah, of course they are, Mike. Well, all right. Let me go back a little bit. What did you learn about the team from last week, then?
Well, I learned that Case Keenum is comfortable enough here as the anointed guy that he's ready to play like he wasn't the Case Keenum of last year. He's willing to sling it. He's willing to take some chances. He's been told, go ahead, go out, throw the ball around. We believe in you. Though things that he did not have said to him last year when he was in Minnesota.
Right.
But we saw the mistakes that went with it. So, you know, until I see that Case Keenum can go out and play that kind of game where he's going to be throwing it around, three touchdowns, 280 yards passing, and no picks, then, you know, I still have to see more of this new look Case Keenum compared to the guy that we saw a year ago to be convinced that, you know, this guy's going to be a big play quarterback, but also avoid the mistakes.
What worried you about the Broncos then from last week?
It was the mistakes. I mean, I was sold on Case Keenum that this is a mistake-free quarterback. This is an efficient quarterback. And his mistakes made this a closer game than it should have been. This should have been a blowout. This should have been, you know, 1.27-13. You know, it should have, instead of it being a 24-10 type game instead of them having to scramble to win this game 27-24.
Mike, who do you think Case Keenum is?
I was sold on the idea he's more of what he was last year.
Well, what do you think he is?
I don't know yet. Because if you're...
I'm laughing at this because...
If you're going to try to tell me that
he's absolutely everything I thought he was going to be, he's probably the 17th to 22nd best quarterback in the league. He's a dramatic improvement from what we've had in the past couple of years. But he's not a top 10 guy. He's not a top 15 guy.
He was carrying himself last week like he was a top 10 guy.
He's not.
He was allowed to throw it like he was a top 10 guy.
Listen,
man. And that's what I'm telling you. That's why I think until I see more from him either convincing us that he's a top 10 quarterback or settling into that nice, you know, 15 to 20 role that he had last year, yeah, I'm going to have some questions about this offense.
You can certainly.
I don't know if it's a blowout offense.
Well, I mean, if you get the ball to guys like Emmanuel Sanders in open space, and Cortland Sutton is going to be such an unbelievable weapon. And what was really, really exciting, I think, for a lot of people around here was how good Philip Lindsay was.
Yeah.
You know, and how good he probably will be in the future. So I still, you know, one of my favorite plays, even though he only got in one pass, was Matt Lacoste. He only got in one play. But at least I like the attitude that this guy was on the team. I'm just pausing for a second. See that play right there? I'm sorry. You can't see it. We're watching Miami. Ryan Tannehill. Now, what's Ryan Tannehill? Who is Ryan Tannehill?
Middle-of-the-pack stuff.
Middle-of-the-pack stuff, right? But if you give him a little time on a simple little dump down, right, a little cross, you know, then you can have some talented guys make something happen. You can have fast guys run the ball in for you. You just have to avoid the mistakes. You know, what I saw out of the Broncos, Mike, was despite the three interceptions, which obviously looked terrible, they were a smarter team overall. And then Von Miller had, like, one of the greatest games, you know, ever. So if you have a player who's one of the greatest ever in Von, and he plays like it, and you just avoid dumb things. And the vast majority of our dumb things last year, Mike, were on special teams. So you avoided that last year. I think Pac-Man Jones is a despicable person for his past and how he's treated women. Period. There. I said it.
But looked pretty spry last week, didn't he?
Oh, my goodness. No, he's going to be a terrible cornerback. Okay. But what he's going to...
How about as a punt returner?
Great.
Okay.
Great. Let's just... Because when he couldn't catch the ball, he just let it go. I loved it. Oh, I can't get it. Boom, 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 boom. Here we come. Oh, I am going to catch it. I'm going to fall forward for, you know, 5 yards or whatever. And then there was a longer return that was called back because of a penalty. But I didn't see dumb mistakes, Mike. I saw something very rudimentary, and it worked. I still don't like him, you know, just I would never have. I don't like having that type of guy on my team because I don't know. Think it matters how, you know, people treat women. Call me crazy. But that being said, he's on the team, and he's going to make safer plays than what was happening in the past. I think it's just it overall looks like a smarter team.
Okay, I'll go with that. Smarter team. Certainly, you saw more potential for explosiveness with this offense.
No doubt. Much more.
Emmanuel Sanders has been reborn with Case Keenum.
Because he's playing the slot.
Yeah.
He's playing where he should have been playing all along.
Yep.
He's not a outside burner. He's not that guy. He is a slot receiver. In the world of being a slot receiver, he's really, really good.
Demaryius looked like, he looks solid to me. Cortland Sutton continues to give us those flashes. You got the perfect mix between Royce Freeman, a little bit of thunder, Philip Lindsay, a little bit of lightning. So, yeah, I think that Jake Butt was able to make a nice play out of having your tight end lined up wide. So, yeah, there's some potential there for this offense to do things that we certainly haven't seen over the last couple of years, and that's something to be really excited about.
Also, the Raiders have no pass rush without Khalil Mack. I mean, nothing of significance. So I think the Broncos line that played pretty well last week will again dominate today. And if you just give Case Keenum enough time, he'll make the smart, maybe not spectacular, but the smart play more often than not.
All right, blow up real quick. A blowout, by the way, is what? You think they win by like 20 points or more?
Yeah, I got like 27-10.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
And I have it like maybe it's a 14-10 game at halftime, something like that. And more what we saw the Raiders last week, they'll be exhausted. They won't be able to do anything in the second half. And they'll just sort of, fall apart. And it could even get worse than that. If it's a close game, I will be surprised. How does Mark Schlereth think about it? And we'll find out that in a second. We've already had an ejection today, Mike. We've already had an ejection. We'll give you details up next. Falcon safety, DeMonte Kazee, just buried Cam Newton as Cam Newton was sliding down. He dove in headfirst, and he's been ejected. Now, I bring this up because there's no doubt when you see this play, if you're just listening now and you haven't seen it, when you see this, you will say to yourself, he should be thrown out of the game for that. And he should. And he was. The intent of this new rule, the helmet-to-helmet thing, Mike, no doubt in my mind, is to punish acts like we saw with Danny Trevathan and with this hit as well. You just can't do it. It's dirty. It's dangerous. And there needs to be some sort of way to give you the harshest penalty possible, including ejection, immediately, rather than just a 15-yard penalty to dissuade guys from doing this to each other. I didn't notice a tremendous amount of, bad penalties or other things like that, but what we have now is a way to throw guys out of games that should be thrown out of games.
Well, what you remember when this leading with the head rule change first came about, there was all kinds of cries about, well, how in the world are you going to legislate that out of the game? And then remember the rules committee went back and they met again.
Yeah.
And there was a tweak made coming out of that was if it was inadvertent,
right,
that would be allowed to pass.
Right.
So what you're doing now is you're saying you're recognizing that the inadvertent stuff is going to happen. There's just no way you can take it out of the game.
Right.
But if you can recognize a moment, a play where it is intentional, sure. Toss them out. Why not?
And I don't like the low hits on quarterbacks. I'm glad that you have to do a little bit more getting to the quarterback. The best parts of the NFL involve, throwing, running, scoring, maybe exciting defensive plays like that. It's not crippling these guys who are the stars of your league. It should be harder. The game is tough enough. Make it exciting for the fans. And this guy who went after Cam Newton, I don't even know what to say. It was disgusting. There was a moment in college football last night that was really interesting. I have a little bias towards it, but it was Arizona State, San Diego State, where there was a targeting penalty called at the end of the game. It was kind of like a Hail Mary pass with 14 seconds. It looks like the guy catches it on the 2-yard line, and they call targeting. In college football, you can review targeting.
Well,
they go to review it. They called it a catch. They go to review it to see if it was targeting, and they realize the guy dropped the ball. And I was like, well, wait a second. Maybe, you know, they'd be better off if there was no call whatsoever. But it just pointed out to me, it's just a slight adjustment they have to make that it should be a 15-yard penalty or the spot of the targeting foul, because you don't want guys at the end of the game on Hail Marys blowing guys up, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, you go back to the CU-Nebraska game.
Yeah.
I mean, Nebraska, Colorado fan may not want to hear, but the reason that they were in position to win that game, the reason they won that game was because of that dumb, stupid
right.
play by the Nebraska player, who I think leveled McIntyre, which would have set up 4th and 20.
Right.
Instead, they got him rightly on the intentional foul, okay, personal foul, which is the absolute right call, but then they went and reviewed to see whether it was deemed flagrant enough to throw him out. Now, they didn't throw him out, but they could have,
yeah.
Which I think is a great tool to have. Say, all right, look, we're definitely going to get you on the personal foul, but we think that there might be grounds to toss you. Let's go take a look at it, rather than having to make that call bang bang.
Yeah, and there's another quirky rule in college. I always look to college to see how football could actually be better. In college, if you fair catch a kickoff, they just put it at the 25-yard line, whether you're in the end zone or not. Do you know that?
Fair catch a kickoff.
If you fair catch a kickoff at the 5-yard line, they just take it and put it at the 25.
A kickoff or a punt?
Kickoff.
A kickoff.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I did not know that either until I saw it. I think there's ways to make the game safer and better. And, you know, this guy getting thrown out, DeMonte Kazee from the Falcons, I think is a good thing. Cam Newton, by the way, did stay in the game. And it's all tied up 10-10 with the Falcons and the Panthers right now. We'll take a look around the scoreboard, Mike, especially with the games that mean something to the Broncos.
Oh, the Sam Darnold to Canton Express hit a little speed bump today.
We'll get to that. First, let's check in with our pal Mark Schlereth.
Here's Mark Schlereth with his biggest observation for today's game. It's exclamation mark.
All right, here's the deal. There's a couple of things that are going to be imperative for the Broncos to come away with a victory over the Raiders. And I think, number one, you've got a wounded, caged animal. The Raiders right now, coming off a Monday night loss against a real good team in the Rams that have unbelievable talent, not really performing in the second half after having a 13-10 lead, all those things. This is a team you're going to get their best shot. They know how imperative this is. You go 0-2 in this league, and the odds of making the playoffs are about 80-20 against or 90-10 against. So you're going to get their best shot. You have got to come out early, and you've got to make them feel sorry for themselves by executing. And here's how you do it. They're going to play one defensive front. They're going to give themselves into what you do best. You do the weak zone aspect of the game best, the bubble side on the weak. You got to run the ball there. You've got to make sure that you exploit that hole and take advantage of that. And then there is no pass rush. So Case Keenum is going to have time to drop back and push the ball down the field. Obviously, can't make mistakes in that realm, but you've got to be able to do those things. Then the other thing on the flip side of the ball is you've got to continuously pressure Derek Carr, put pressure on him like you did last week against one of the best offensive lines in football, because Derek Carr made mistakes, mental mistakes during the course of the game, threw into coverage, didn't recognize man versus zone, and made a couple of mistakes that cost him that game, especially in the second half. You do those things, and I tell you what, you're going to come away with a victory when you get your cleats on the grass.
Okay.
I'll admit that the reason why I'm thinking that the Broncos will win closer is that I got Mr. Horton Hears a Who that I listen to every single day. You know, the former offensive lineman in Mark is just like, oh, no, no, this could go wrong or that could go wrong or, you know, don't get too cocky. And so he's been hitting me with that all week long that watch out, they're going to be dangerous.
Well, the whole concept of a wounded cage animal, Mark is very good with the words. Okay, but what is that animal? I mean, is it a velociraptor or is it a three-toed sloth? I mean, you know, there's a lot of types of animals they could be. His concept is that you're down in the dumps and then you're really going to fight back. Right. Well, okay, maybe if your heart's really into it and if you believe what's going on. And I can make that argument with, I don't know. There's a lot of different teams I suppose I can make that argument with. Right now, Miami is whooping up on New York, I suppose. I don't, you know, we could take a look around what else is going on.
A.J. Derby just got a touchdown pass for the Dolphins.
A.J. Derby, who was a sixth-round pick by the Patriots. We traded a fifth-round pick for him, and then we just cut him. Just another awesome manipulation of the roster by the Denver Broncos, the A.J. Derby deal. We make amazing decisions with the Broncos based on sometimes I really don't know what the decisions are made on. Carlos Henderson no longer a Bronco. Yeah. Isaiah McKenzie no longer a Bronco. Shamarco Thomas back on the team. Any comments about the roster shuffle here in this after week one?
Well, it's an acknowledgement. And when they first made their final cuts and guys like Henderson were not on the mix, McKenzie was not on the mix, and then brought back. I mean, it was just you kind of got the writing was on the wall, wasn't it? That they were acknowledging their mistakes and they were acknowledging the philosophical differences that existed in previous drafts as compared to this most recent one. So they acknowledged it. I guess you give them credit for not continuing to cling to your mistakes, you know, stubbornly believing that eventually it'll turn around.
Yeah.
So I think you give them credit for that. But back to the Raiders real quick. There isn't much about the Raiders defensively that worries me. You're right about that. I think as long as the Broncos take care of the football, I think they should have a pretty good day. But I do wonder, to Mark's point that we just heard about the wounded caged animal, they do have some veterans on that team offensively. You know, there are enough guys there that...
Like who? Who scares you?
I mean, you still have... Well, it's not a matter of who scares me. It's the potential to do something.
Amari
Cooper, there's potential. Although, what a colossal bust he's been the last 2 years.
Three targets last week.
Jared Cook. Look, until I know we can cover tight ends, I'm going to worry about the tight end.
Yeah.
You got guys like, you know, Jordy Nelson. What does he still have left? We'll find out.
Yeah.
You know, Marshawn Lynch is still running hard. So, and they've got an offensive line that is widely regarded to be one of the top five in the NFL. So I think that there's at least some, you know, they got some guys that they can use like Jalen Richard that is used the right way, can be impactful. So I just think that offensive, put it this way.
Yeah.
I think you'll see a different Raider team, a better offensive team than the one that we saw in the second half.
I'll give you this. I've said it a million times. The first 2 weeks of the regular season are the equivalent of preseason.
Yep.
And nobody should make any conclusion about any team based off the first 2 weeks. I've said it a million times.
Right.
I just don't see it with the Raiders, but boy, oh boy, oh boy. I was screaming from Lookout Mountain about how we were going to just destroy the Giants coming off a bye week, and was unbelievably wrong. Wrong to the point that we just didn't realize how bad that Broncos team actually was. But they were rotten to the core because we had fooled ourselves, Mike. The Broncos started 2-0, and in this week, last year, the Dallas Cowboys came to town and we killed them.
Yep.
We looked unbelievable.
Yep.
People were jumping off bridges trying to offer Trevor Siemian multi-year contracts. Alfred.
Alfred did too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Both of them fell for that?
Both of them fell for
it. Oh, man.
So I won't be a sucker with it. I'll take everything with a grain of salt. And in terms of what's going on today, the latest from Broncos Stadium at Mile. What a catchy name, by the way. Troy
just rolls
Rank,
off the
Broncos
top.
Stadium at Mile. I mean, why don't they just keep it that way forever? Troy Rank from Denver 7 will join us next.
Now let's get the scoop from Denver 7 Broncos insider Troy Rank.
Troy joins us. Troy, the biggest storyline going into this game is what?
Well, in terms of winning the game, it's the Broncos' ability to stop tight end Jared Cook. I mean, I think that's the only thing that would prevent them from winning this game. I mean, other than turnovers, we talked about D-Mac. They're 32-0 since 2012 when they won the turnover battle. So I would say it's twofold. Keenum playing better, taking better care of the ball, and the Broncos having a plan and executing it against Raiders tight end Jared Cook.
Do you look at the other players on that offense? Do you see much of a threat in Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Marshawn Lynch? I mean, certainly guys that have the name, have the pedigree, but where are they at right now?
Well, they need to stop the run, because if Lynch is able to run, it just frees up Derek Carr to play well. I mean, Derek Carr to me looks like a quarterback who's kind of like Siemian was last year after kind of that Chargers-Chiefs game where he looks like he's tired of getting hit. And the Broncos are going to get after Carr. Carr is a guy, if you have a running game and he has a little more time, he's very accurate and he gets rid of the ball quickly. But Carr, for me, when I watched the end of last year and I watched that Raiders game, he's getting rid of the ball like he's seeing ghosts, feeling ghosts, seeing ghosts. So, but, yeah, Lynch, they have to stop. You still have to account for Lynch. He's not the guy he was in Seattle. But he can still hurt you. I mean, Lynch hurt them last year in Oakland. But I expect him to gang tackle, swarm tackle, force Derek Carr to win this game, and I don't think he can.
Troy Rank from Denver 7, our Broncos insider, presented by Tranny Law. Troy, what did you note from the coordinators? What did you learn from Joe Woods, from Bill Musgrave, Tom McMahon? What did you conclude based on now we've had a regular season game, now it's our ship to sail? What have you noticed?
Well, in Musgrave's case, I mean, he's a creative mind. I mean, he's pretty bland when he speaks with us, but the reality is he's a creative mind. They had 470 yards last week, D-Mac. That's the most since Peyton Manning retired. And they did that with their quarterback throwing three picks. The first time they've won a game with a quarterback throwing three picks since Manning beat Cleveland at Cleveland. So that's encouraging. And what I learned from Musgrave is, you know, Keenum had this good quote about when I asked him about turnovers, that shots called don't necessarily mean shots taken. And Musgrave said that Joe Gibbs told him as a young coach, good quarterbacks know when the play's there. Great quarterbacks know when it's not there. And that's the challenge with Musgrave and Keenum. There's way more to this offense, but they have to keep spoon-feeding it because you don't want to create turnovers. And with Joe Woods, the issue is cover the tight end. They're going to treat Jared Cook like a receiver. They're going to bracket him. They're going to be in man at times. But they're not going to, like, let Evan Engram beat them with the Giants. They're not going to let that happen. Tom McMahon, what I like about him is he's nuts and bolts guy. They're back to business on special teams. Let's not try and reinvent the wheel. And he's really relying on some young players like Philip Lindsay still, Tim Patrick. He trusts those young guys. They're way more athletic on special teams this year.
Troy Rank, join us from Bronco Stadium at Mile High. Defensively, we saw some tackling issues for the Broncos last week, but do you just pass that off to these guys don't play a lot during the preseason, so maybe the tackling doesn't really sharpen up until you get into, you know, weeks two, three, four?
Yeah, I don't want to make an excuse for the poor tackling, especially in the first half, but you're right, Mike. When I talk to players, I mean, the reality is they don't tackle much. They don't tackle much in practice. They barely play in the preseason. So the idea they're going to show up in week one and just be tackling machines is probably a little bit ambitious. And so I do think in week two and three across the NFL, not just for the Broncos, you will see tackling improve. But in a game like this with with Jared Cook, you can't allow him to have a 60-yard catch. Like when Disley had that 62-yard or whatever it was, he broke four tackles? I mean, come on. That can't happen. One tackle is one thing. You can't have a complete breakdown. But I do think they'll be better. This game still, I know it's not the rivalry it used to be, but they're still, it's an in-division opponent, and the Broncos know you can't get back to the playoffs if you lose AFC West games at home. Because remember, they haven't won an AFC West road game since Manning left. So you can't give up one at home.
Troy, we appreciate it. All right, we're ready for a prediction. What you got, Troy?
I got Broncos winning 23-16, a little bit of a grinded-out affair. I think they're going to be a little more boring at times when they need to be, recognizing that the only way the Raiders could beat them is if they lose the turnover battle.
Final question. Your son is a senior. He had homecoming last night. What time was the curfew?
Around 2. I don't have a problem with it. I trust him. He's not a guy that stays out late. He was with friends, so friends and our parents' house. I was all good. He's on time 99% of the time, so I was good.
We had homecoming last night as well.
For mom's sanity, he was on time, too, so that's always nice.
All right, 2 a.m. Wow, that's impressive. I was midnight in high school.
I get nervous with the sleepover concept, but thank you, Troy. We'll hear from you tomorrow. We'll look for you on Channel 7.
You got it, my man. Take care. Have a great show.
Thank you, Troy.
You'll laugh at this. So, I mean, Literally... Those of you listening who are of our age,
yes,
literally, my parents had a rule. They're like, look, here's your curfew, okay, but if you're going to be late, just call. And literally, all I needed to have in my pocket was a quarter, and I'd be able to get a payphone and call just to let them know I'd be late.
That was the get-out-of-jail-free card, right?
You know, a quarter. That's all you needed. Quarter in your pocket. Ready to roll.
I wish that was the day.
What was your curfew?
I don't even remember.
No, what was your son's curfew?
I wasn't cool enough to stay out late.
What was your son's curfew?
Well, we try to create an environment, if we're getting in this topic, where people just come over our house.
Yeah.
But that's been We've had mixed results even with that.
The house
the house
after party, I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Okay with
this. Still, everybody's got to go home at some point.
True.
No more sleepovers. You're not 10. All right, let's look around the league a little bit.
We just drove to Hampton Beach.
Wow. That was fraught with all sorts of peril there at Hampton Beach. The Falcons leading the Panthers 17-10 at halftime. In that game, the safety for the Falcons was kicked out of the game for targeting Cam Newton. The Chargers destroying the Bills, Mike. 28-6, and your guy, Melvin Gordon, on your fantasy team, absolutely owning me.
We're going head-to-head this week.
Oh, he's owning the league right now, and the Bills are quickly shaping up to be the worst team in the NFL.
It could be.
Based on the first 2 weeks. Packers leading the Vikings 17-7. Aaron Rodgers is playing in this game, and they're into the third quarter now. He's got a brace on. He's doing okay.
He's all right, yeah.
But there are reports that he is messed up, that it would take a couple of months for him to really recover from this, and he's just going to try to get through it. I mean, so my hat's off to Aaron Rodgers, but there's no doubt his knee is messed up and probably will take some surgical repair at some point. But with a knee brace and enough drugs, Mike, I guess you can do anything.
Adrenaline.
Yeah. The Titans leading the Texans 14-7. The Browns leading the Saints 6-3 in a game where the Saints gave up a million points. The Browns are tied. Mike, is this Browns team? What is this Browns team?
Well, during the summer, I said, look, if I'm buying stock in NFL teams, I'd buy stock in the Browns.
Yeah.
I think they're building something, especially on defense, that is reminiscent to what the Jaguars started to do a few years back. So, and they're holding Drew Brees in check in the dome.
In a crazy game, the Chiefs led 21-0. In fact, they thought they had scored a touchdown to make it 28-0. But there was a holding call, and the touchdown got reversed. Pittsburgh has fought all the way back, now 21-21 against the Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs and Steelers are both on the Broncos docket. Patrick Mahomes is what?
Better than I thought. Better than I thought. I thought that there would be a real rookie adjustment time for him, but so far he's off to the kind of start that Deshaun Watson was off to last year before he got hurt. So right now, I got to admit, the kid's playing better than I thought he would.
You mentioned they should slow down the Sam Darnold enshrinement parade.
Yeah.
20-0, the Dolphins lead the Jets right now. The Eagles are down to the Buccaneers 20-7. And in another amazing NFL story, Ryan Fitzpatrick is having another great day.
Three touchdowns, over 200 yards passing in the first half.
Colts lead the Redskins 14-3. Later this afternoon, Cardinals, Rams, Lions, 49ers, Patriots, Jags, Giants, Cowboys, aside from the Broncos and the Raiders. And during the game itself, John Davis and Orlando Franklin will be on with instant analysis as the game goes on. I really enjoyed it last week because we were leaving here and we're going to wherever we're going. It was really fun to sort of follow along with the game, with the guys breaking it down as it was happening. So I advise you to keep that in mind. Okay.
Here at the View House, Main Street in Littleton, great place. I love downtown Littleton. So many cool shops down here, but we're right on Main Street. Come on by. Great place to watch the game. Coors Light is here. We got the Coors Light girls and guy are here. So we got something for everybody.
Good. When we come back, Cecil and Pritch, what to look for. That's next. All right, time to see what to look for. Pritch and Cecil.
It's Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Thanks, guys. What to watch for me, Pritch, has to be Marshawn Lynch. It is incredibly important for the Raiders to establish the run game to try to out-physical the Denver Broncos. So Lynch versus Royce Freeman, power versus power is something I'm looking forward to. But is Marshawn Lynch the key for the Raiders on Sunday?
He's a key. He is a key. But they have five eligibles that are dangerous, Cecil. Talking about the Oakland Raiders, in my estimation, I mean, you look at Derek Carr, not off to a great start, but you got Martavis Bryant, you got Amari Cooper, you got Jared Cook, you got Jordy Nelson. It doesn't stop. Jalen Richard as well out the backfield. A lot of eligible weapons for the quarterback of the Oakland Raiders. Watching for the Denver Broncos. Can they hold up against all that talent? And at the same time, be stout in the trenches. You know, Oakland, we can't sleep on them. They are not together. They're not a great team right now, but they have a ton of talent that you can't sleep on. So for the Broncos to win this game, a lot to pay attention to.
Richard and Cecil's What to Watch For is presented by Golden Oak Lending. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Golden Oak Lending can help. Call today, 720-500-GOLD.
I think one thing to look for, Mike, today is actually the weather itself. Another absolutely spectacular day, but warm. In fact, they're going to put cooling hydration stations around the stadium for the fans, and I would encourage everybody to keep it safe there today, as it's going to be brutally warm right there, right at kickoff again. And we'll see how that turns out for the Raiders. It's the age of their team is interesting, and the fact that you pointed out they didn't really have the cash to keep Khalil Mack, which they didn't, by the way. And then you say, "Oh, Raiders fans." I'm like, "Well, who are Raiders fans? Like, who cares about Raiders fans? Because do you think the Raiders really care about the citizens of Oakland at this point?"
Of course not.
Who cares?
They keep leaving.
And will any Vegas fans hold anything that happens over the next 2 years against them when they come to Vegas? I mean, most likely not. So I would, if I was running a franchise, get rid of all my big cash. I would. I'd dump it all. I'd look at draft picks left and right. I wouldn't care much about the next 2 years because the next 2 years truly don't matter.
And you just keep selling Gruden.
You keep selling
Gruden's the face.
And you've got an excuse for the next 2 years. It literally doesn't matter. And you may even want to, you know, keep your eyes out there for free agents and move on from Derek Carr at some point. You know, you're not necessarily beholden to him. It'd be nice to keep him, for sure. But who knows? So I think everything is possible. I think it's a tough deal for the players. I think for players in that situation, it's difficult. So not only do I think today's win will be relatively easy for the Raiders, I think the Broncos should beat the Raiders every single time they play them for the next couple years.
Well, they what? Play them second to last week of the season,
December,
I think,
December 24th
right?
in Oakland.
So, you know, you talk about...
We'll see what the season's all about then.
Right. But if the Broncos are in it, you've got to believe the Raiders will not, and you'll be going into a, you know, an atmosphere there where it's got to be, not that I have any sympathy for a Raider fan, but it's got to be tough from the standpoint of how do you continue to root for a team that you rooted for maybe your whole life that you know is leaving in 2 years?
I have no,
you get
free tickets.
How do you do that?
You got nothing else going on in your life. You know, you have no sense of morality. I have no idea. I certainly wouldn't, you know. I don't know, man. I mean, I guess you miss things that go away, that's for sure. We all do. Things change. It's like, oh, when they build that building? But I would feel so betrayed as a fan to what's happening there, and I'd feel betrayed by my community because they have not built them a new stadium. I would feel betrayed by ownership, who has shown me no loyalty. I'd feel betrayed by everybody. I really can't
explain.
Would
you adopt another team?
As a Raiders fan?
Yeah.
If I lived in Oakland?
Yeah. I mean, what do you do?
Whatever, I mean,
you've been a Raider fan.
I've bought all this styrofoam and makeup. What am I supposed to do with it?
I
find Raiders fans to be some of the dumbest people and dumbest fans that are out there. They are morons for the most part because they blindly root for this idiotic team and organization, and they have for years, that has totally betrayed them. And yet they keep showing up. I mean, how dumb are you? Would I root for a new team? Yeah, I'd root for the San Francisco 49ers, I guess. Or I'd root for the Seattle Seahawks. Or I'd root for the Dallas. I'd root
you
for
just
anybody.
You'd swear them off.
Woo!
Team you rooted for your entire life, you'd swear off.
I have no idea.
I guess, I mean, I can't
why
even...
anybody, except for the fact they have some really bad tattoos about the Raiders, would continue to be an Oakland Raiders fan.
I can't even fathom the idea of it here, but I mean, imagine if all of a sudden the... You know, the Broncos, you know, the ownership situation got all squirrely.
Keep going.
And, you know, some guy came in who's a, you know, big, you know, gazillionaire.
Yeah.
Buys the Broncos, but he's a, I don't know, he's a, he's from another city. Give me a big city that doesn't have the NFL.
Boy.
I don't know. He's from, you know,
Portland.
He's a big guy from Portland or Sacramento or something like that, okay?
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, I just bought the Broncos. I'm going to move them to Sacramento.
Yeah, then I'd be done being a fan of the Denver Broncos.
Just like that?
Like that. I mean, like instantly. like I'd be hosting the party to, you know, to get rid of all my stuff, or I'd give it away because burning clothes is dumb for anybody. Just give it away to somebody. Do something useful with it. But no,
you become a fan. A Bronco fan would become a fan of the Chiefs.
How in the world,
Chiefs?
Do you think people in San Diego
are you gonna become a fan of the Chiefs then? In that situation,
no.
That's what you're saying.
No.
Hey, geographically, they're one of the closest teams to you.
I don't know. I'll figure
you
out.
Become a Cowboy fan. We got all these Texas fans living here.
I'll go back to my Patriots roots. God forbid. Now that's never gonna happen because we don't. No matter what. Well, I should never say never. I should never say never. I'll tell you this, the stadium the Broncos have right now is not up to par with these new stadiums, okay? They have tried, and they have worked awful hard, and they've sunk a lot of money into it. But there will be a time in 10 years, Mike, where we look at that stadium, and whatever the name of it happens to be at that point, and we're like, wow.
So you're telling me that a stadium that's only 18 years old?
In 10 years, it'll be close to 30 years old. I mean, it's built in 2000, right?
2000. Okay, so it's 18 years old. 20, it's obsolete already?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because it's not multi-use. Because if you look at the stadiums that are built now, it's not just the football games. It's everything. And they're building little phony fake towns around these stadiums. And there's multiple use for this. We are – look at the area itself around Federal and Colfax where the stadium is. Have you seen any sort of – prosperity or anything being built up in that area? No.
Unless you raise the whole area.
You got to raise, well, yeah. I mean, and I know there's plans to do like $15 million worth of shops and everything and put a taco stand next to the Comcast building or whatever it is. But it's going to pale in comparison. When we see what's going to happen out in L.A., Mike, for the Rams and the Chargers as a tenant, we're going to be blown away. We know what they've done at New England, and that's not a dome stadium, but at least they've built some sort of infrastructure around it.
So unless you have a Lodo around it,
yeah,
it doesn't really matter.
There's not enough room down there anyways. When they built this new stadium, they should have put it out closer to the airport. It would stink that it's not downtown, sort of. But let's face it, getting downtown is kind of a pain. You know, it's much easier to go around 470 and get to the airport. Who wouldn't rather go on 470 rather than drive down I-25 in traffic? The Valley Highway, I was told, by the way. You want to...
Well, you live out that way.
Go back then.
That's the Valley Highway?
The Valley Highway is I-25.
That's the Valley Highway.
That's what it was known back in the day, huh. Mike, before it was I-25, the Valley Highway.
Valley Highway.
Yeah. I know that sort of thing because I'm just, you know, Mr. Denver. All right, when we come back, Sandy breaks it down by the numbers. This is nothing to worry about, you know.
No, I'm just using it to try to understand the Raiders' plight.
The fact that there's an NFL game played on a baseball stadium dirt is still mind-boggling to me. And by the way, if you want to see a great stadium done the right way downtown, go see Indianapolis Stadium. It's perfect. And they had a crap hole, dome, gross area. It's a retractable roof. It's right downtown. It's a little smaller. It's about 65,000, not 75,000, which means every single seat in there is fantastic. And you can do everything in there, absolutely everything. The Broncos had that chance years and years and years ago, and they just didn't do it. And no, the Raiders, see ya. I can't wait to see the stadium in Las Vegas. Let's book that in to do this show on the road every single time they play the Raiders, right?
Even when they're not playing the Raiders.
All right.
Broncos and Chiefs, we're live from Vegas.
Sure. It's a short flight. When we come back, Sandy's stats of the game. We're live from the View House in Littleton with our friends from Coors Light. What a fantastic facility. It's all packed upstairs. We got a full table down here. Downstairs, there's the menu is infinite, Michael.
Oh,
and,
the breakfast menu is huge.
We have the Chiefs on the board. Again, what a game they have got going with the Steelers. We'll get you up to date with everything coming up next.